Amen, amen. Joy indeed. Let's pray together as we turn to God's word this morning. Father God, we sing that truth. That this baby was born in this manger to save the whole world, to bring salvation. God, we can't really begin to understand the depth of our need, let alone the cost. But we say thank you and we sing joy to the world. The King is here. The Lord has come. And God, as we are in this season, we want to sit in that truth and allow you to work in our hearts, to draw us into deeper understanding of the fullness of your grace and the love that you have for us. So God, as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that you would speak, that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, that we would be encouraged, that we would be challenged, that we would be drawn deeper into this joy, into this love, into this truth. That we can live it more fully in the world around us, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team, for leading us through that this morning, leading us to that place. Well, as we turn to God's word, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to read this very familiar prophecy of the coming of Jesus and the promises that are fulfilled in him for us. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1. Where it says, nevertheless, and you can kind of read in chapter 8 some of the things that are leading us to this place where Isaiah says these things. God says them through him to us. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1, read the first 7 verses. We've got it on the screen here as well if you read. Well, let's read together. Isaiah chapter 9 says this, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign in righteousness forever, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, born to us that we can be free and we can know him. Hallelujah and amen. The Messiah is here. Jesus has come to set us free, to make us whole, that we can know God himself. God is good. And in Jesus we have new life, and a disciple is one who knows and follows Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas once again, all. We had a wonderful time at our Christmas Eve service, a truly meaningful time as we walked through the story of the birth of Jesus, reading the scriptures and singing together those powerful truths of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Very special night, my favorite night of the year. Every time the candles lighting up the room, As we sing Silent Night, it just hits so deep. It's a very special time, and Jesus is the light of the world, the light in that darkness, and he fills us with that same light, and it's so, so beautiful to do that together. And I hope you've had a chance to find some kind of rest this season, too, to spend some time with friends, with family, enjoying the warmth of the season and celebrating everything that Jesus is and has done for us. It is truly a wonderful time of year. A time of fellowship and celebration, relationship, giving gifts, worship, and prayer. And then very shortly, we're going to be stepping into the new year as well. 2025 is just around the corner. A new year is upon us, a chance for new beginnings, resolutions, hopes for the future, and remembering what has passed. For some of us, this past year has been a real celebration. Weddings and new births, a new job, a new house. For some of us, this has been maybe the hardest year of your life. We've suffered loss, someone has passed. The things we were hoping for didn't happen. The things we were fearing did. Wherever you are, whatever you have gone through this year, one of the things that is so easy for us to miss is the presence of God. We get focused on ourselves, the good things, the bad things, but the way they affect me. And we can easily forget how God is present in our lives all the time, in all things. He's not just a part of your life, a piece. He is ever present and all-encompassing in gladness and in grief, in waiting and in moving. And an important part of our journey as a disciple, as we have been exploring all year here, is to become more and more aware of the presence of God in our lives. Not trying to give him a bigger piece of our life, but to truly give him your whole life. To be more and more attuned to his voice and his leading all the time. To be ever watchful, seeing how he is at work in all things, present in all things, and walking with him like Jesus did. And so I hope you'll join me in an exercise over this next week. To take some time to look back over this past year, and not just think through it, but pray through it. Month by month, as fun or as hard as that might be, and to truly seek to understand God's presence in every moment through that journey. How he was present with you, what he was speaking to you, what he wanted you to see, how he was bringing you comfort and hope, how he was providing for you, the people that he surrounded you with. It's something we should be doing every moment of every day, living in full awareness and connection with the presence of the Spirit of God. It's how Jesus lived. And it's life he wants us to know too, not supported by God like some kind of mascot, but fully embracing his leading and presence all the time. Our life filled with his Spirit, living for his glory. We want that to look like that every day for us. But it's a unique opportunity at the turning of the year to review and prepare, to look back and to pray forward. That the next year we can maybe walk a little more fully and a little more deeply, a little more clearly, a little more closely, surrendered a little more fully with our Creator and our friend, our Heavenly Father. So join me this week. Carve out some time. Take a couple hours. That's hard to find, but we can do it. To pray through your year and see how God has led you. And pray forward into the things he has in store for you this coming year. If you need some help with that, we've got a tool on our welcome desk. a year-end examine. And sometimes we don't know where to start. And this is just a little bit of prompts and some ideas for you to kind of pray through and help guide you through that kind of a process. But I hope you'll make the time that we can all walk a little more fully in the Spirit together next year as we see the presence of God a little more clearly together. And that's what I'm going to be doing for this next season myself, as we've been talking about and preparing for a number of months here now. This is my last Sunday before I begin my sabbatical. Now, before we go any further, I'm not leaving. I'm not retiring, I'm not resigning or anything like that. I was talking with somebody this morning in the foyer. It's going to take like a real lightning bolt or the physical manifestation of Jesus before me before I receive a word that's like, it's time for you to move on. I don't see any of that coming. We're going to talk about this right now. We want sabbatical to be normalized here. It's not a transition time. It's a part of healthy ministry. So I'm not going anywhere. Well, I mean, that's up to you, not me. So you guys get to decide that. Every AGM, I get one more year. So, but again, it's a time of sabbatical, and I'm going to be stepping into that for about 3 months here until the end of March, where I'm going to be doing just that, spending that time in prayer and reflection, seeking to align myself with the Spirit of God, filling myself with His Word for my own heart and my own journey with Jesus. And for the vision and direction of our church as we seek to follow Him together. I am so thankful to be a part of this church and to have the privilege to serve in leadership here. It is a great church, led by good people, our amazing elders and wonderful staff, people that they're called and anointed in the Spirit to serve and to lead, that we have discerned together and voted on and affirmed together as a congregation. That these are the people that God has called to provide leadership for us as we all serve together in this mission to bring life and the hope of the gospel, the love of Jesus, to the people of Leduc and spread around the world. But it is a truly great church then, too, that sees the need of those pastors and leaders. That it's not because they are great, but because God is great. And we want to send our leaders, our pastors, to be present with Him. We want to say to them, go and humble yourself before Him. Seek His leading and His guidance and His presence, His restoring and rest and empowering. That we can be led well out of a place of humility, filled with the Spirit and the Word to serve us all as we try to walk together. That's a good church that wants that. And so as you take time this week, I invite you to pray for me and for our church as well for this next season. As I said, ministry continues to roll like a freight train around here. We've got amazing staff and elders who are going to continue to serve and lead well. God doesn't stop just because I'm taking a rest, taking a step back. Ministry doesn't stop. So I want you to pray for this season. Pray for me. Pray for our leaders. Pray for an open heart that I will be able to hear God clearly for the things that He has to speak to me, that I need to learn, that I need to grow. And the things that He has for us as a church that we want to step forward into. Pray that I will be ready to receive the things He has for me and for us in the season. Pray for our leadership, for our staff and our elders, particularly for Pastor Scott. He's out visiting family today, but he's going to be providing leadership over this season. Pray for him that the Spirit fills him and that God uses him in powerful ways to lead us. The sabbatical season is a different season for sure, but life doesn't stop just because I'm not here. So pray for peace. Pray for wisdom. Pray for our church as a whole that God will speak and move in all of us all the time. And that as I step back in a couple of months, we will be ready to step into the next things that God has in store for us too. It's going to be fun. We as a church have been through sabbatical a number of times now. This is not new for us. And they always precede great new seasons in the life of the church as we pour into our leaders and ask them to humble themselves in God's presence in this way. Our church grows and deepens in its mission and vision in the kingdom. And I know God has amazing things in store for us. So I'm going to be doing lots of reading and praying. I'm going to be visiting other ministries and leaders, mentors, and people that I respect and learning from them. But at the same time, I'm not dead. I'm not on an island somewhere. I'll be here in town, and I'll be even here a couple of Sundays as well. Pastor Scott and Joelle are expecting their baby. I'm going to be back to cover a couple of Sundays during that time. It's going to be wonderful. And I just love worshiping with this church. It's going to be very different. So we'll be here sometimes. We're going to be visiting other places as well. But I'm going to be disconnecting from the normal pattern of ministry here, but not disappearing. So don't be afraid to reach out if you have to. I'm still your pastor. Still love you and care about you. We're still walking together. You don't have to feel like I'm not hiding away. I'm not made of glass. You don't have to jump to the next aisle if you see me in the grocery store. But I'm going to be stepping back and trying to unplug a little bit to allow God to speak in deeper ways than it's hard to do when the treadmill is going 1,000 miles an hour, when Sunday's always coming. And so to be able to step back and listen and receive is going to be really, really important. And I'm excited to see what he has in store for us in this season. So that's what's coming. And it's a big deal, but as I say, we've walked through this a number of times already, and we're going to have some more sabbatical seasons coming. A healthy church has staff that are around for a long time, and as we continue and our staff continue, we're going to have more sabbatical seasons coming up in the years to come, and it's an amazing part. I want it to be normal here. It's an amazing part of a healthy and vibrant church that their leaders are taking that time on a regular basis. And we want it to be a normal part of the pattern and ministry of life here as a church. God is good. And he is walking with us. And it's so fun to see how he is moving here. And as we step into that season, we're also again coming to the end of this Advent season that we've been walking through this Christmas, our series Advent. Talking about the arrival of something great and looking at the gifts that God gives to us as we walk with him. These gifts that he provides for us. And again, we've been exploring discipleship all this fall. We want to deepen and understand our journey as a disciple, understanding the mind of a disciple. And again, we started with the journey of Israel and the things that God taught them about following him. But then as we approached the Advent season, we moved from the things that God has taught us to the gifts that God has given us. The blessings we have as we walk in new life with him. The gift of hope. That sure, solid, fully aware, fully alive hope. Rooted in the solid foundation of the very nature and promises of God. We talked about the gift of peace, that deep, profound, abiding peace rooted in the depth of the care and provision and protection of God. The gift of joy, that indescribable and glorious joy rooted in the resurrection and the abundant new life we have in Jesus. And the gift of love, that love that we know because God showed us what love looks like when he sent Jesus. Four candles on the Advent wreath, each representing these profound gifts, each unique and important, but all set around that center candle. Arranged around that most prominent candle that we lit on Christmas Eve. The Christ candle, the light of Jesus. Jesus is the root of all of this. He is the core and the foundation of everything we are doing. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our joy. He is our love. It's not about these gifts. It's about him. It's not about trying to be these things more and more, to conjure these things in ourselves more and more, to be more hopeful, to be more peaceful, to be more joyful, to be more loving. It's about knowing Him more. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, as it says in Hebrews. So much of our journey with Jesus is so often about us trying to justify our salvation, to make ourselves worth it. To try to show Him, to try to show ourselves that we can do it on our own, even when we know we can't. He has given me hope, but I want to show Him how hopeful I can be on my own. He's given me joy, but I want to prove to Him that I can be joyful on my own. But it's not better. He's not asking us to stand on our own. It's not about showing Him what we can do. It's about letting Him work in us. One of my favorite stories in the whole Bible, my actual favorite, alongside all the others, because they're all so good, is the story of Peter walking on water. Matthew chapter 14. This profound story. This happened, and they wrote it down. And it's hard to believe, and it's hard to understand, but it's there. Matthew chapter 14 says this: immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat after all the ministry they had been doing. He told them to go on ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. After He dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. Later that night, He was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Is it a ghost? They cried out in fear. But Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is You," Peter replied, "tell me to come to You on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he became afraid. And he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. "You of little faith," He said, "why did you doubt?" As soon as Peter turned his eyes aside, started looking at all the things around him, as soon as it wasn't about Jesus, and it was about himself, he was literally sunk. It's just the best story. This man walked on water in the middle of a storm. We can't even begin. Thunder and lightning, the wind was so strong that it was buffeting the boat. The wind was against them. These experienced sailors were struggling through. And he gets out, and what was it like? Was it slippery? Was it wet? What on earth could that have been like? The waves were rolling. Did he have to like climb over them? What could this possibly have been like? And what would possess him to even say that to Jesus? "Lord, if it's You, call me out on the water." Who says that? Who thinks that? But for a brief moment, Peter got entirely out of his own way. And for an instant, he experienced what God created us to know. That it wasn't about him. somehow God allowed him to step back in his own life and allow God to be full, God to be it. It was entirely about Jesus. And when it was entirely about Jesus and nothing else, the power of God was revealed fully in his life. And for a moment, creation itself was beneath his feet. And he walked in the fullness of what God had for him. We are created to be in perfect relationship and connection with God, fully and entirely filled with and consumed by and empowered by him. It's not about standing on our own two feet. Jesus is not training wheels until we figure it out. The Trinity is three in one, each part of everything in each other, and yet each entirely distinct and unique. And that's what we were created to know, entirely a part of relationship with our Father, and yet each of us a completely unique expression of his nature born within us. And we couldn't handle it. We couldn't handle being within that. We needed to be distinct. We needed to express ourselves and take control. We couldn't submit and yield to that reality, to the presence of God. And in doing so, we lost everything we had. We can't have these things outside of Jesus. It's only found in him. He told us this: I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The branch can't bear fruit on its own. We can't prove to God how strong we are by separating ourselves to show him our goodness. It is his goodness alive in us. The branch can't separate and prove how strong we are, how capable we are, how loving we are, because it's not from us. There is no strength in the branch. There is no love in the branch. There is no life in the branch. It's all in the vine. And we aren't less for being held by Jesus. We are only made more. A disciple is one who is filled with Jesus and knows there is nothing besides. One of the greatest treasures of Scripture is this little tool we call the Romans Road. And it's this road map written through the various passages in the book of Romans that just walks us through the story of our salvation and what Jesus has done for us and what he's inviting us into. And I want to read us through that this morning. As we step into this next season, we've talked again about the story of Israel and the gifts that God has given to us and the next step in this journey of discipleship. And I'm so sad I'm not going to be here to preach to it because I'm so excited. But this next season is going to be looking at the story of Jesus. Jesus is not a disciple. He is the example. But as disciples, we want to know what it means to live like him. He is the example of life with his Father to us. And so for the next few months leading us to Easter, we're going to be looking at the life of Jesus. And the things he did, the things he said, the things he saw, the things he showed us about what it means to walk in relationship with his Father fully and completely. He only did what his Father gave him to do. He only said what his Father told him to say. He, God himself, was completely yielded to his Father. How much more do we need to be? So we're going to be exploring that story together through the book of Luke, looking at the stories of the life of Jesus and the example that he is to us. But here in Romans, we have this roadmap of what salvation is and the freedom in Christ that we are to know. And it starts in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says simply, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 5, 8, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10, 9, "Therefore, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Romans 8, 1, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Romans 10, 13, "For whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 6, 4, "We therefore are buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." In Jesus, we have new life. Not as training wheels, not as a starting point, as the beginning and the end and the whole journey. He is enough. He promises you abundant life, filled with the Spirit, forgiven and set free, not to walk on our own to try to prove to God or ourselves or whoever that we can be good enough, but free to live in him again as we were created to be in the beginning, just like Jesus. A disciple is one who has life in Jesus. Do you know that life in Jesus? That's what I'm going to be exploring over the next few months, is that life in Jesus, coming into it in a deeper and deeper way, wanting to know the fullness of that life in Jesus, surrendering myself. And I want our church to do that as well. That's why we're looking at these stories. We want to see clearly the picture of the life of Jesus, that we can walk as he did and live as he did. As we step into that time, I'm going to invite Jason and our elders to join me on the stage here. We're just going to spend some time in prayer, praying into these things together. And again, it is a big deal, but it's going to go fast as well. It's going to be over before we even know it. And we are so excited to be able to share this time. So, Jason, I'm going to pass the mic over to you. We're going to spend some time in prayer together, and we'll invite the worship team to come and get ready on the stage as well.